2 Kings chapter 6, the prophet Elisha. It says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware, pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. So the Syrians are at war with Israel. Did I tell you 2 Kings chapter 6? Chapter 6, verse 8. I see confusion about. Syria is going to invade Israel, and they're making plans. But God protected Israel from Syria. But understand how he did that. He spoke to the man of God. The man of God spoke to the king. And then the king had to believe that the man of God knew what he was talking about. If the king had ignored the prophet, Israel would have been defeated. Do we understand that? So if we don't listen, it's not enough for the preacher to preach the truth. It's not enough for us to hear the word of God. We've got to do what God says. Guys, our lives become such a wreck when we disobey God, when we don't listen to what God says. God has given us a plan to have a beautiful life, a wonderful life, not without its problems, but a wonderful life. And it's when we ignore God, we ignore God's word, we ignore God's instruction through his preachers, and through his scripture, that we get in trouble. If the king had ignored the prophet, they would have been defeated. So important to understand that. In fact, look at verse number 10. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So what does that mean? It means that he sent people to check it out and make sure that it is actually what Elisha said it was. Okay, Elisha, we won't go. Hey, y'all go check it out, see if he knows what he's talking about. And so he sent a recon team down there. And the recon team went down there and they saw the Syrians camped exactly where the prophet said they would camp. And they came back and gave word. Yeah, that's exactly, they were where he said they were going to be. And he saved himself, but he followed up. Guys, understand something. We should trust, we should be able to trust the man of God who stands before us. But we should also verify. Trust, but verify. I mean, God even said in his word, prove me, test me, prove me. Try me. Put me to the test. I'm telling you, God's word will work in our lives. God's way will work in our lives. But don't just believe it. Put it to the test. Every bit of it. All of it. Always be obedient to God. Put him to the test and see if your life isn't better. Let me challenge you in this. I'll say what I've said many times. Even if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, if you would apply the standards and the principles of God's word to your life, you would have a better life. But if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you still go to hell. Put him to the test. My friend says, Pastor, I don't know if God will forgive me. And I said, why don't you put him to the test? Why don't you pray and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. And I don't deserve your grace, but God, I ask you to forgive my sins through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And I said, won't you ask God to forgive you and leave it up to him? That's all I'm saying. See, you may not feel like God can forgive you. You may have been told by someone, as I was reading the other day, a lady had been told by a missionary, well, God won't save you. You may have been convinced that God won't save you, but if you'll call out to him today and say, God, I put myself at your mercy and ask you to forgive me and I trust you as my Savior, he will save you. He will forgive you. What does the Bible say? It says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what the Bible says. So put him to the test. The king put Elisha to the test. It turned out to be exactly as Elisha had told him. Well, so we go to verse number 11. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called a servant, said unto them, will you not show me which of us? Who in this room is for the king of Israel? How is it that every time I make a plan, he finds out what it is and we don't get anything accomplished? Verse 12. One of his servants said, none, my lord. O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now, this is a conversation. Look, everybody in all the land of Israel knows what's going on. They know that the Syrian king is trying to invade Israel, but every time he sets up, Israel avoids it because God gives Elisha insight. Elisha speaks to the king, and the king changes his plans. Everybody knows that's what's going on. The only one who doesn't realize what's happening is the king himself. And when he's told it's God doing it, what do you expect the king to do? Should he say, well, I mean, you can't fight God. I guess we'll just go home. Was that his plan? That wasn't his plan. That's what he should have said. That's not what he said. He said, I want y'all to find out where he is. They say, he's at Dothan. Everybody knows where he is. The king's the only one that doesn't know what's going on. Everybody knows he's at Dothan. He said, then send a bunch of people down there. Let's encircle the city. Verse 13, spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And they said, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he their horses and chariots, a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So the king of Syria has now surrounded the city of Dothan just so he can capture Elisha. Because if he can put Elisha in jail, then Elisha can't tell the king of Israel what he's doing. Let me tell you something. You may shut down a man of God, but God will make a way to get his will done, to accomplish his purpose. Jesus said, if these should hush, remember he's coming into Jerusalem and the people are shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the people say, make them stop, make them stop. They're making a lot of noise and they're going to attract attention and tell them to quit. Jesus said, if these should not praise, the rocks would cry out. The Bible talks about how the timber of the home would speak. Now, of course, it's just to make a point. He's not talking about beams actually speaking out of a house. But he's saying that we should know that the record is never hidden. Our sin is never hidden. If we try to hide our sin, even the house itself, the room itself in which we go to hide the sin will be a witness against us. We cannot hide our sin from God. And we cannot stop God's purpose. If God wants it done, it'll get done. We trust Him for that. He goes to catch Elisha to shut him up. In the morning, the Bible says in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And you look at Elisha and his servant, and this relationship is like a father and a son. We looked in Sunday school about Samuel and Eli, and again, the relationship like a father and a son. But here's this young man who's working and following and serving Elisha, and he comes out of his tent and he looks about and he sees that the Syrian army has compassed the entire city. There's no way out. And his heart is smitten with fear. He's afraid because he knows that Syria has been trying to defeat Israel, and now they're in the line of fire. And he's scared. Verse 16, Elisha answered, "Fear not. Fear not." I understand something. Our job as fathers, as leaders, is not to minimize the dangers around us. We're not supposed to pretend like the world is not dangerous. We're not supposed to impress upon our children or on those who depend on us that the world is not dangerous. Oh, it'll be okay. Just don't worry. It'll all work out. No, that's not what our job is. It's not to minimize the danger, but to maximize reliance on God. I want you to know something. This world is full of hell. This world is full of sin. This world is dangerous. This world is dangerous for the body and the mind and the soul. It's dangerous against marriages. It's dangerous against children. It's dangerous against families. It's a dangerous place. The culture, the society is creeping in on us, trying to force everything upon us, make us accept everybody as they are. I saw something today that really just spelled it out. It said, "You expecting me to accept somebody who considers themselves a man that's really a woman, or a woman that's really a man, is like you expecting me to talk to the imaginary friend of a schizophrenic." Guys, that's really what it is. We're living in a world that's full of mental illness, but we've been told that we must embrace that mental illness, and we must go along with it, and we must celebrate it. We live in a dangerous world. I don't want to take that away. I don't want you to think that's not out there. But I want you to understand that we have a big God. That there is a big picture. That there is a big plan. And look at what he says. Elisha said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." One of the ways that the devil's trying to discourage you, that the world is trying to discourage you, is to make you believe that the church is shrinking, that Christianity is withdrawing, and that there are not as many people who love this book and love God as used to. But I'm here to tell you, there are people who are still getting saved. There are people who are still surrendering their lives to God, and God's work will continue until the time in which God says, "Come home." They that be with us are more than they that be with them. But I'll challenge you, that's one of the reasons we need to come to church. Because when we isolate ourselves and we sit at home and we shrink away from the church, we begin to feel like we're the only ones who believe what we believe. Instead of coming to the house of God and sitting with other believers. And then the preacher says something and the people say, "Amen." I don't beg for amens. I don't preach for amens. You can say it or don't say it. Either way, the point is that we encourage each other when we say, "Hey, I believe what he's saying." We encourage each other. We come to church and we see that others believe. We're not alone. The Bible speaks true. It rings true. It's for us. We don't minimize the dangers, but we maximize reliance on God. The Father's Day message there in verse number 17, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Ooh, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd shout. You see this? You see what he says? "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." You see, on the mountain surrounding them, above the chariots and the horses of Syria, above them were the angels of God, the heavenly host that had come down to protect God's people, to protect God's man. You see, Simon Peter was arrested. They put him in a jail, and everybody said, "Well, he's secure now." They fastened his feet to the floor. And then the church prayed, and the angel of the Lord came in and hit Peter, said, "Hey, buddy, get up. Let's go." They went out the first gate and the second gate out into the street. Why? Because there's no bars that can hold God's plan down. Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten, bloodied, clothes a mess, put in the inner prison where the slop and the slime and the sewage of the prison goes to the drain. And there's Paul and Silas. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And an earthquake shook the building. And all of the stocks on their hands and feet were loosed. And the doors were opened. Why? Because you can't stop God's plan. We got to be submitted to God's plan, obedient to God's plan, surrender to God's plan. I wish you could see the world through my eyes. I wish you could see the hurting through my eyes, and the strong through my eyes, and the weak through my eyes, and the lost through my eyes, and the saved through my eyes, but not just through my eyes, through the eyes of God. And Elisha said, God, open his eyes that he may see. I'm afraid that too many of us have allowed our vision to be dimmed. Our spiritual vision is dimmed because of the culture, because of society, because of the voices, because of Hollywood and New York and all of those influences. We need our sons and daughters' eyes to be open to the world around us, to see through God's eyes, to have a spiritual, eternal, biblical perception, to see it through the lens of God. Every obstacle and every opportunity through the lens of God. And stop having our vision dimmed, because they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Guys, we've got to see it God's way. You say, well, you're not going through what I'm going through. I know. But you know, one of the reasons that Jesus came and walked on the earth was so that he could relate to us better. So we could relate to him better. I mean, he made us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows us inside and out. The Bible says that, right? You know my inner dwelling. You know me. But Jesus came to earth. Look, he had a stepfather in his house. He had a blended family. Had half brothers and sisters. Blended family. Had brothers that picked on him. Any of y'all ever have that? He had that. He was lonely. A lot of the kids around him, they couldn't relate to him. He was different. He was spit at, cussed at, mocked, beaten. You know why? So we could relate to him. Even one time, the Bible says he sat on the side of the well. Because he was tired. When he's on the cross, he says, I'm thirsty. Guys, he can relate to us. He came so that we could relate to him. I wish we could see the world through his eyes. I wish we could see each other through his eyes. God, open our eyes that we can see as you see. So we can see the obstacles, the opportunities. So we can see the lost and the saved and the hurting and the dying and the weak and the weary through your eyes. So that when we are discouraged and when we feel alone and isolated and we feel like we're the only ones going through this, we can lift up our eyes and see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. We have an army of angels on our side, as long as we're on your side. God, help us to see your hand in our lives. In Jesus' name, if there's anyone here this morning who has not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you pray right now from your heart to God and say, God, I am a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I surrender my life to you. Would you pray and ask God's forgiveness? Trust him as your Savior. Surrender your life to him. This is your opportunity. Would you stand? You can pray where you are if you want to and come down here. I'll pray with you. We as the church have got to see the world through the lens of God, through the eyes of God, and not be defeated and not be diminished, not be discouraged, and not quit. Because God is able. God is able. Thank you for being here today. I hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Anything before we're dismissed. By being gone last week, I missed an opportunity, and let me extend to you this, that we still have that annual opportunity for you to travel to a tropical island paradise to restore the youthfulness of your days. Next Monday, we'll be going to youth camp, and if you want to go, it'll be all expenses paid. I'm telling you, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. But pray for Brother Adam and us as we prepare to go to camp. If you've got some kids that want to go, have to be at least 8 years old to go. It's $135. We do not let money stand in the way. If anybody wants to go and they don't have the money to go, we'll pay, including you. So you are welcome to go with us, all right? Anything, I'm telling you, it's like a tropical island paradise. Y'all don't know what you're missing. Right, Brother Jimmy? Amen. He could testify to it. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Michael dismiss us in prayer.